I want to share a couple quick things that were put on my heart this morning. And some of it may sound like repeat, but Paul shared about stirring up his children. And in the stirring up his children, so that he said that I may not labor in vain. And to warn them about the things that are happening. And again, I want to share everyone that we are in the third flood. And in this third flood, which is going to end the end of this month. And we've got to hold on and stand fast no matter what. And there's something that the Spirit said to me, because I was going to go to another teaching this morning. He says, no. He said, no excuse. I said, what do you mean? He said, no excuse. There is no excuse why my people stumble. There is no excuse why they fall. There is no excuse why they don't do my will. There is no excuse. So today's called no excuse. Go to Romans 1. Remember, justification is nothing but a lie. Romans chapter 1. So this is a message from the daddy to his children. No excuse. We have a book called Shut Up and Listen. Romans 1:16. I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Now, you got to listen to this because this is so powerful. He says, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is a message of truth. He said, I'm not ashamed about it. And he also said something. He said, for those who believe. In other words, the word believe means to follow. So your obedience to the truth is going to bring the power of God. Amen. What? To salvation. Does everybody get it? In verse 17. Is everybody there? For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. In other words, the message of truth. The gospel is just not the four gospels. Does everybody understand it? The gospel is a message from the throne room of God that the Spirit brings through man to his children, to the lost, that they may be saved. It brings warning, it brings correction, it brings direction. It exposes the enemy. So those who are believing in it or obeying it are going to walk in the power of Christ. You may have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the power is there, but if you're not obedient, the flow isn't. I don't care how much tongues you pray. If you're not obedient, there's still a dam there. It's clogging the flow of the anointing. That's why people fall. But why? Because they don't have power to overcome. In verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. Wow. So we already know. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know all things. There isn't anything hidden from you. There is no excuse. Go ahead, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So there is no excuse. None. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Does everybody see that? Oh, this is so powerful. If we can get this empowered in our spirit, we become more obedient. See, even though you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, the power doesn't flow unless you're obedient. And we want the power of God to flow, what? To overcome the devil. Now, I want to share something with you. Because even the Bible says that many will come before him and say, Lord, I cast out devils. I did this, I did that. Yes, that's the power of God for others. But the power of God for you, you will not overcome. Because God desires no one to be lost. Do you understand this? So even though you're used by God to heal, to raise the dead, to deliver, you'll still go to hell. Does everybody get it? Why? Because of disobedience. The power of God is not keeping you. Why? So you're still deceived. You're still doing your will. That's why people who are led by their gifts are always out of order. You're never led by gifts or prophecies. You're led by the Spirit. It's amazing how many people think because they've cast out a devil or they laid hands on someone or they did deliverance on someone, all of a sudden that's their ministry. Amen. Yet they can't overcome the power of the devil of deception themselves because now they're following the gift thinking that's fulfilling their ministry. Does everybody understand? But that's not what it's about. We've got to follow and be led by the Spirit. Those are the sons of God. It doesn't say those who are led by the gifts. It doesn't say those who are led by prophecy. It doesn't say those who are led by feeling. It says those who are led by the Spirit. And the Spirit is always obedient. Always. Go to verse 28. Read it with me. As even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning. Untrustworthy. Remember those two things. You're either earning the trust of God or you're not. And can't discern. Why? Because the blinders have come. Even though you think you're doing God's will, you may not be. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Here's the kicker. Are you ready? Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow, that means you're hanging around with someone who's doing these things. You're approving of it. Well, I don't approve of it. I don't like it. Yes, but when they come and ask for your help, you give it to them. When they come and ask you for money, when they come and ask you for these things. I had a family call me the other day, and I think I might have shared with some of this. I had an email from up north, and the person said that, this parents, they have a young son who's out there. In fact, he wanted money, and his parents refused to give it to him, so he went with a gun and held up his parents. And he blew the phone out so they couldn't call nobody. And the girlfriend that was with him was willing to kill the parents. So they gave him the money. But they didn't call the police. They didn't do nothing. So I emailed him back. I said, the son doesn't need help. The parents do. They're idiots. Why? By approving this. Do you understand? And so they finally called me and I said, listen, man, blood's on your hands. Well, he's got guns in the house too. I said, well, that's wonderful. So if he's willing to do this with you, is he willing to do it with somebody else? Yes. So why are you approving this? Well, we don't approve it. Then why are you paying his rent? Why are you paying his utilities? Why are you paying his car payment? Why are you doing all these things? What are you doing then? You're approving what he is doing. Do you understand that, mom and dad? You got a child that's not in God's will? Don't support it. Sever it. Amen. Yeah, but it's my kid. Yeah, well, you're going to send that kid to the wrong place. And you'll regret it later. Does everybody understand? So those even who are practicing it and you're approving it, you got no right doing it. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Philippians 2. So the message of the gospel is truth, isn't it? It brings the power for salvation. You know, faith is following the truth, isn't it? Because you walk by faith. So what are you doing? You're following the truth. Even though you're not seeing something, you're walking by faith because you're obeying the truth, aren't you? Philippians chapter 2. Everyone say, I have no excuse. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Oh, hallelujah. There's that key word. Obey. Why? Because faith is following the truth. By following the truth, you're what? Obeying the truth. It's amazing how people walk in assumption and not faith. There's more people walking in assumption than they are walking in faith. Because they walk in assuming, they call it faith, but yet it is not faith. It's called not God's will. Faith is obeying the truth. The Bible says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing what?
The
word of God. So if you're obeying the gospel, you're walking by faith. But if you're obeying the voice of the stranger, because many will fall from the faith by taking heed to deceiving spirits and seducing spirits and doctrines of what?
Demons.
So you, and then we just read a minute ago that they can't discern, can they? Why? Because the moment you disobey, you can't discern. The devil will convince you you're doing God's will, but you're really not. He'll convince you that the Lord knows it all. And he does. The problem is we don't. He'll convince you that God is a God of mercy and love, and you can just go ahead and do anything you want. But that's not the way it is. The Bible says those who endure to the end will be saved. Those who do the kingdom of God, the will of God, will be saved. That's why we are to work our salvation. Why? By faith. Working, it means you're believing and following. You're obeying and following. Has everybody got it? Let's read 12 again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have what? Always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Why? Because the enemy's going to hit you even more. You won't have somebody there to correct you except for the Spirit. He'll convict you and correct you. He's the one that's going to keep you in line. He's going to mentor you. But if you're not in fellowship with him, you're out of line. You're out of order. And everything that God tries to get to you, the devil will steal. Or he'll defile by the time you get it. Let's read 12 again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So it's God working in you to do it. So we have no excuse, do we? There is no excuse. Anybody who chooses to do the wrong thing is because they made the choice to deliberately stand before God Almighty, the King of Glory, and say no to you and yes to my will. Does everybody get it? My will. And no to your will. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go on. Verse 14. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, which is the gospel, isn't it? So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Work out your salvation by faith and obeying the truth. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, our last few times together have been tough. But we're at a critical time. Very, very critical. There are many who are still in the beach house, and it's being destroyed with them in it. And because God has been trying to get a way of escape for them, they refuse, they reject God, and they're getting destroyed. And the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Let me tell you what will keep you in the beach house, the soulish realm. It will have to do with a feeling. Deception will keep you in the beach house. I'm not talking about a place that's going to be fun. I'm talking about a place that's going to be destroyed. Your will. If you're not one who truly seeks counsel and seeks God with all of their heart, you'll get caught up in the beach house. Why? Because you'll move by assumption and not move by faith. You'll move by how you feel and what you think you deserve. And we don't deserve nothing. We have to be led. That is the only way to be rescued. You must be led. And the time is so short. Time is so short. You know, Gideon's army went from like 30,000 or whatever it was, 22,000, all the way down to 300. That's all it took. Jesus had an army of 12. Lost one. Replaced him. And look at it, it's touched the whole world, the whole globe. It only takes one to touch one, to touch one, to touch one. Amen. It's not about the masses. It's just about one, one, and one. Think about where you work. What are people saying about you where you work? Are you being a witness? Where are you, you know, think about the people you fellowship with. People that have known you. You know, somebody may have come to a service or something, and all of a sudden they get a call from you, and they're going like, well, why'd you call me? Well, you know, I was just, they say they're led, but they're really not. They're misled. Because you cannot move on assumption. Does everybody understand? Assumption will put you and set you up in the trap. Those who are led by the Spirit are children of God, not those who are led by how they feel. When you know what God has started to do, the will of God, why did you fall short? Why did you go to another way? Why did you change direction? Well, I just felt this and I saw this. No, you didn't fulfill the will of God and you got misled. You knew what the beginning was. That's like the servant that the Lord gave talents to. And the one that didn't complete what he told him to do, he called him a lazy and wicked servant. A lazy and wicked servant. You chose to do your will because you moved by what you saw and what you felt instead of did what I told you to do. There's a difference. That's called assumption, not being led. Then people wonder why everything is being stolen from them. Why they can't get ahead. Is everybody okay? Good. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, let's go. In verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. Now listen, it says that his divine power has been given to us for what? All things. So the divine power is already there. You already have it. But because of our disobedience, it stops it. The divine power has been given to us, what? That we may pertain to life and what? Godliness. Godliness. You know, the power of God was given to me and you to be a witness. Does everybody understand? A witness. The Bible says that you, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be a what? Witness. Witness of what? The truth. The gospel. That's why your obedience is essential. All of our obedience is essential. Okay. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance or endurance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Ooh. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be what? Neither barren nor unfruitful. So see, if you're lacking these things, it's because there's disobedience involved. He said, listen. If you're doing these things, you're not going to be barren and you won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who what? For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Why? Because his old things have come forward. He is what now? He is short-sighted in blindness. Why? Because when you become disobedient and come in covenant with the voice of the stranger, the first thing he begins to do is blind you. Why? So you can't discern. You can't discern. Then you're doing things that you think is God. No, you walk from faith to assumption because you can't hear anymore and you can't hear the right voice. And next thing you know, you're in frustration. Next thing you know, you don't know what to do. And all of these other things begin to happen. And now you're looking for some kind of a fulfillment or a touch from God. But I'm telling you, the devil loves to come and replace. Then we begin to touch and agree with other things that are bringing temporary fulfillment. We begin to justify, reason, and even manipulate. And not even know that we're doing it. Why? Because the blindness is there. So we have no excuse, he says. He's telling his children, you have no excuse. There is no excuse why you will not do the will of God. There is no excuse to serve the devil. You shouldn't. There is no excuse. Quit blaming the devil and quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming your lack and quit blaming your prosperity. It's us that are making the choice. It's us. Now look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more what? He says, even more what? Even more what? Even more what? Diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? So if you stumble, what's happening? You're not doing it. You're not doing it if you're stumbling. If you're picking the phone instead of going to the throne, you're not doing it. You're not doing it. If you're chasing the money instead of the king's presence, you're not doing it. If you're chasing the spouse, you're not doing it. Many hunters for the opposite sex. They're on a hunting detail. I'm going to hunt me a woman. I'm going to hunt me a man. You need to be hunters of the eternal presence of God, and everything else will fall into place. No hunting this season, amen? You are not in hunting season. Quit hunting. Yes, bud. That's right, sister. Everybody okay? Now, verse 11. Come on, let's finish it right here. Verse 11, this verse. For so an entrance, say an entrance, will be provided, will be supplied. I like the word provided. They need to change this. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into where? The everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's saying if you're going to do these things, an entrance will be provided. But if you're not, none will. Hallelujah. I didn't hear any hallelujahs on that one. First John chapter 2. We have the divine power of the Spirit of Christ to walk in all godliness and all obedience. Everyone say, I have no excuse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, is the what? Do you really believe we're in the last hour? Then the scripture is being fulfilled. Wherever you say the last hour, scriptures are being fulfilled. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. And they went from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be what? Made manifest. Ooh. Think about how many times the Antichrist tried to move you out of position. Some of us are out of position, even though we're in fellowship here. It's not about a place, it's about your position. But a place certainly helps, doesn't it? We need to be in fellowship with one another. That none of them were of us, right? But you have what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you what? You know all things. So if you know all things, you don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse to stumble. You don't have an excuse to be swayed. You don't have an excuse. The only excuse we have is a right, outful right disobedience and rebellion. That's it. We're just making a choice in the face of God to say, no, I ain't doing it. And he just steps back and says, okay. He don't fight with you. He lets you run the course till we eat dirt, find things missing, lose the presence and the peace of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Peace. There's nothing like greater peace. Peace is freedom, isn't it? Joy is his presence and righteousness. Oh, man, that's your conduct. When those things are out of line, you're not in the kingdom of God. You're not in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God is not manifested. Does everybody understand this? See, Jesus said, I have come to bring the kingdom. So he desires that the kingdom of God be manifested in us. That's how the world is going to get rescued. That's how people are going to be led to Jesus. No one comes to the Father unless he comes through the Son. That's how he draws them when the kingdom of God is manifesting in your life. It's not about how much you preach. People are looking at conduct. What are you doing? Remember, Paul said, it's not when I'm present, it's when I'm absent. What you doing when I'm absent? Where are you at? What court are you in? What chamber are you in? Where are you at? Let's keep going. In verse 21, I have not written you because you don't know the truth, hello, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? You know when you deny that Jesus is the Christ? When you say no to him. You deny him. Look what happened to Peter. Did Peter deny him? Yeah, three times, didn't he? He hung with Jesus for 3.5 years. Then they went on and asked him, well, did you know him? And he said, no, man, I didn't know him. Three times he denied him, even though he knew him. He followed him. When you disobey God, when any of us disobeys God, we deny him. See, people take it too nonchalantly. They take it too, like, well, you know, I'll just repent. They get really granola, you know, nutty and fruity. Well, the Lord loves me. I can do whatever. I'll just repent later. No, you just lost the trust of God. Those are people who are always learning, and never coming to the knowledge of truth. And they cannot progress any further. And listen, I know that we want to get deeper. We want to go further. We want the power and the glory of the eternal presence to rest upon all of us, that wherever we go, somebody's getting touched, to where your shadow heals somebody. There's no reason why we shouldn't be walking just like they walked. But God is holding it back until we're totally obedient. He's holding it back for a specific season and purpose. But now he's beginning to pour out things more and more and more. You know, you wonder why some people are always walking in peace, joy, and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. And even though you may think they have no problems, but they have many problems, but they're not allowing their problems to run their life. Man, I could give you a whole novel of problems. But I can't allow them to run my life. I can't allow circumstance to run my life because it's no longer I that live, but him that lives. This is Christ's life, not Guy's life. Guy died 15 years ago. Although he tries to come alive now and then. You got to turn around and beat him down. Get down, boy! Got to tie him up, put a rag in its mouth sometimes, and bury him. Hit him with a shovel over the head. Get back in that coffin. I got the full armor now, not you. Man, you got to take dominion over yourself. Because with self is a whole load. It's a whole network. Just like singular. It's a whole network, man. I'm telling you, wherever self is, they are too, yeah. So when self shows up, everybody shows up, don't they? All right, let's go on. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, do and finish the first thing he's told you to do. Don't be swayed. Obey. In verse 25, And this is the promise that he has promised us. What is it? Eternal life, that a entrance will be supplied to you. These things I have not written you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you need not that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. So there's this place of abidance. People just think reading their word is abiding in God. There are people that read the word and are so far from God, it's ridiculous. Because of their disobedience. Abiding in him means walking in the Spirit. Walking heart to heart, hand to hand, cheek to cheek. Walking with him. Listening. Obeying. Seeing what he wants you to see. Hearing what he wants you to hear. And receiving what he wants you to receive. You. You and him. Go to verse 3 for a second here. Is everybody there? You couldn't go too far. Read it with me. Now by this we know that we know him if we what? Keep his commandments. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a what? He's a what? He's a what? Come on, tell me again. So if he's not, if you're disobeying, what are you?
Liar.
You're a liar. And the Bible says, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Well, I just really don't believe God's that mean. He's not. We are. We're the ones that are going to send us where we go. Not God. He says, either take the pool of eternal life, or take the pool of eternal death, fire. He allows me and you to make that choice. But the divine nature that is in us gives us the ability to have dominion and power over the enemy. The only reason why people don't have power over the devil is because of disobedience. They're not believing the truth. They're not believing, and that means that they're not abiding, is there? You can't be abiding and still being disobedient. The only way you're going to be abiding is if you're obedient. Other than that, you're disobedient and misled and walking by assumption and not being led by the Spirit. Go to verse 4. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just like he walked. Ephesians 5, in verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1. So we ought to walk just like him. Let's read it together. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and giving himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Do not be what? Partakers with them. Go to Ephesians 3, verse 14, somewhere around there. Looks good. Ephesians 3:14, let's read it. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in our inner man, that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In other words, you've already been granted the power. It's already there. There is no excuse why you should not do the will of God. There is no excuse why we should not depart from fornication. There is no excuse why we should not depart from evil and lying, thievery, manipulation, selfishness, and greed. There's no excuse why an individual should not tithe. There's no excuse, none whatsoever, except for outright denial of Christ. That's all it is. No more candy coating. Bringing it right to the surface. Here it is, face to face. Where are you at? Where are you at? I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 6. Yeah, but I's got to die. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Everybody there? Everybody all right? Are you getting it? Anybody got an excuse? You're about to get mugged. Held up by the Holy Spirit. In verse 1, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by the honor and dishonor, and by evil report, by good report, as deceit and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Why? Because the power that is already in you of divine nature, we have no excuse. So don't blame nobody for what you do. Nobody. We have no excuse. You already have the power to overcome. The anointing teaches you. You know all things. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what's pleasing, you know what's displeasing. We have no excuse. You know what the will is, then do it. This is the day. Depart from evil and come out from among them. I'm telling you, it is important. Do the right thing before God. Don't be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. I said before God. Always before God. Because if you can't see him, you're lost. If you can't acknowledge him, and you're in the presence, you're lost. Whatever you do and wherever you go, if you can't acknowledge that the Lord is there with you, you're lost. You're not abiding. Why? Because you're going to still do what you feel like doing. David says something very powerful. I always see the Lord before me. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Did he get back in line? Yes. No excuse. Let's take this seriously, take it to heart, and do the right thing. That he may be glorified in our life and every area. Remember, we're all earning the trust of God. Some of us want to, you know, we want to get in positions, but you got to earn the trust of God. And if you just recently blew it, don't expect to get right in position right away. You're going to have to earn it. You got to earn God's trust back to get back into a place, don't you? So let God be God. And let's not use any excuses. Let's just do it and die. Because it's a good day to die. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we take opportunity right now and repent for making excuses. For being outright disobedient and denying you. For slapping you right in the face. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. For every time we've said no, we've denied you. Restore to us our first love, Master. Grant us the eyes to see you in everything we do, that you may be before us in all things. Lord, we repent for assumption and not being led. We repent for justification, which is nothing but a lie, an excuse to do the will of the devil. Lord, we repent. We ask for the washing of the blood as we prepare our hearts this morning. Lord, we forgive and bless those. We hold no unforgiveness whatsoever. We sever ourselves from every entanglement of this world, that we may be only entangled with your presence. And to Jesus be all the glory. And everybody said amen.
Hallelujah.